With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Deep Dish Radio, episode 15. Jazz musician Lolly Allen.
Welcome back to Deep Dish Radio. I'm Tim Powers. Today, this episode, my guest is band leader, jazz musician, vibraphone player, recording artist, Lolly Allen. Lolly is, in addition to all those things that I just mentioned, a very good friend of mine. And she is working on her new album, which she'd like to tell you about. It is an exciting project. Lolly is bebop based, and her jazz is outstanding. If you dig Mingus, if you dig Monk, if you dig Charlie Parker, you're gonna like what she has to play. In fact, don't take my word for it. Listen to this. My guest today, Lolly Allen. Lolly, the leader of the Lolly Allen Quintet here in Los Angeles. Her new album is coming out, and she's going to tell you about it real soon. But before we do, if you like what you hear on Deep Dish Radio, I encourage you to tell a friend. If you like the show, please use your social media and let people know about it. I am not a secret, and the show is free, so you get what you pay for. I introduce you to people like Lolly Allen and some of the other guests that we have had, and some of the guests that we have coming up. Actually, I'm planning some new things, and it's going to be very exciting. So now is a good time to let people know. Plus, you can say you were here from the very beginning, which is nice to know. My email address is tim@deepdishradio.com. Please send me a note. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @deepdishradio. I'm sure there's a Facebook page somewhere, so check that out. If you really like what you hear, I would deeply appreciate if you left us a comment on iTunes. Yep, open up your iTunes and just leave a comment for Deep Dish Radio. That would be fantastic. Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening, and I would love to read some mail if we ever got any mail. So if you write me, chances are I'm gonna give you a shout-out on the show. So, you know, do me a favor. Drop me a line, would you please? Lolly Allen, jazz musician, right after this.
It's Deep Dish Podcast. Subscribe today and tell a friend about Deep Dish Podcast with Tim Powers, with Tim Powers.
Member of the LA jazz scene and dear friend of mine, Lolly, I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Tim, thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. We talked a little bit beforehand about what an unusual choice of acts the vibraphone is, right?
Yeah.
And with every musician I've ever met, there's always this moment. There's always this, there's this frozen bit in time where you fall in love. You hear something and it just resonates with your soul. And you're like, this is it. This is what I want to do. Do you remember hearing something, a piece of music, grabbing a mallet in your hand or something like that, where you're just like, this is it. This is where I want to be.
You know, that moment happened for me to various degrees many times.
Okay.
There was one time in particular, as you're asking me this question, that actually comes to mind. And I was in high school. And we did these sort of, not so much competitions, but they were Area All-State, is what it was called, Area All-State.
Right.
And All-State, basically concerts that the kids would audition for and then come together with other kids from other towns in either the area or across the whole state.
Right.
And these were really big deals because you had to play with kids that were, you know, from really large towns or cities or whatever, that were really, really just advanced, musically advanced. You know, of course, I was from a really small town.
Right.
My graduating class had 25 kids in it total. So we're talking a school that had K through 12 all in one building and no more than 300 kids, K through 12.
Right.
It's a very small town, very small school. So I went to these Area All-State concerts, and I got to play with these kids that just blew me away,
right,
under conductors that blew me away. And I remember after one of them, I was high from the experience,
right,
of performing.
Sure.
And I was probably, at that point, I'm going to say I was maybe 15 or so years old.
Right.
And I remember just talking a mile a minute, you know, after the concert to my parents or whoever would listen and saying, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. I want to be a musician. And I do remember saying that to them. Like, this is what I want to do. This is great. And of course, I realize now that high of performing, of interacting with, you know, audience that's sitting there, that's just, you know, reflecting this energy back to you as you're making music, the music you've worked so hard on,
right,
and just really being sort of a part of that music, like feeling it, you know, in the moment, kind of embodying that experience. It's such a wonderful experience.
It's got to be emboldening, too, to be this, you know, from my understanding, I've never done it, but from my understanding, being a 15-year-old girl it can sometimes be a little awkward.
Oh, Lord.
So
I remember it too well.
Well, there you go. So to be able to go toe-to-toe with big city kids who probably maybe a little older, perhaps more thoroughly trained, right, and or whatever your perception of them is, whether it's true or not, to be able to step up and go, I can hit it with these Boston kids or these New York City kids, and you stood up toe to toe with them. That's got to be kind of empowering, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I mean, at that level, when you're doing these festivals with kids from, you know, other towns,
right,
it's just so exciting. There was never a feeling for me sort of competition, I guess. You do audition to get in there,
right,
and so that there was that was the competitive part, but once you're there, once you're in the band and you've claimed your seat, it's just amazing and inspiring.
I think that's the nature of jazz, right? Where, as opposed to any other genre of music, where if you can hold your own with your instrument and you can keep the band afloat, you know, you've got your chops and you've hit that point. Whereas like in, you know, garage bands or your rock and roll bands that you're trying to work up, everybody's just trying to get to the front.
That's an interesting point, because jazz has, as part of its history, the jam session,
right,
where people would show up. And this is a great way also if you, you know, come into a new town or a new city, it's a great way to sort of jump right in and get to know some people. And let me tell you, it's not that easy with a vibraphone to wheel into a jam session.
Yeah, not the most portable of instruments.
And say, excuse me, pardon me, please step aside. There's a vibraphone coming through. And then, you know, but it's, you know, I went to many jam sessions, but that's also an experience where, you know, there's some nerves, you know, you're thinking, okay, you know, the person next to you is kind of checking out the instrument. Okay, what are you going to do? You know?
Right.
So, you know, in the bebop tradition, there was definitely a history of sort of teeth cutting, they called it.
Right.
I don't feel that as much, you know, modern days. There's, you know, jazz is in schools. There's an education component, you know, it's being taught thoughtfully and usually respectfully. Of course, you know, if you've seen Whiplash, I will say that it wasn't entirely true, but there's definitely sometimes an element of fear of really wanting to please, you know, who the conductor is, who the, you know, the teacher is, especially if they have a hot temper. And there are a few out there.
Yeah.
That make grown men cry.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. But, you know, one of the through lines in all the stories that you've told me about your development as a musician is you were always playing with more advanced, senior, older musicians. When you were in junior high, you're playing with a high school band. When you were in high school, you're playing with college level bands. Can you talk a little bit about the effect that had on you and the skills that you had to develop in a hurry?
Well, I've heard a couple of things, and one of them was always surround yourself with musicians who are better than you.
Right.
Or do your best to try to play with musicians that are better than you.
Sure.
And I've also heard them say it pays to be musically promiscuous, meaning, you know, play with lots of different musicians. And that has the effect of just making you a much better musician. You know, dancers, social dancers do the same thing. They dance with multiple partners. You know, if they're swing dancers, they'll rotate partners. And that is because it makes you a better dancer. So this makes you a better musician to play with the very best people you can get a chance to play with and as many different people as possible. So I think it really pushed me.
Wow. Because, you know, you, on one hand, I want to say that you kind of handicapped yourself, because vibes is not a portable instrument. It's not like a harmonica or a guitar where you can just unpack and go.
That's right.
Right. So, I mean, if you're going to, you immediately come into the jam session, you come into the garage or wherever they're playing, right? The studio, wherever it is, the club, and you immediately put on a show because you got to unpack this behemoth of an instrument. And people are like, oh boy, what are we in for now?
Yeah, right? They're seeing this girl, this young kid.
This girl. That's another good point is, you know, you think about musicians, historically, clearly there are, just by benefit of history, more men across the board as musicians, right? The female musicians that you can think of, especially in jazz, it's not a big slice of the pie, right?
Yeah. So I don't know why. For the life of me, I don't know exactly why that is. And it's not that men are keeping women out. It's definitely not that. You know, there's been a lot of men who've been really, really supportive of me as a musician, of my career. I mean, I can tell you that when I first came into college, you know, in Ithaca, I was one of three women in the percussion department, and it was not easy. It was definitely a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, these are in the percussion department. These are 18 and 22 year old boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's the maturity level is what it is, but it's,
we never grow out of that.
Yeah. But you know, so it's a challenge, but I never had anyone you know, cite me for being a woman and tell me that I wasn't, you know, capable. I never felt that way.
You stood more on the merits of your skill than just on no girls allowed in the club.
Yeah, there was nothing like that. Of course, I didn't like, you know, I didn't love like dirty jokes or anything.
Yeah.
You know, which you sometimes hear, you know, with
when there's men around,
the drummers of that demographic, you know, college age kids. But, you know, I was sensitive, but I was also pretty easygoing and lighthearted for the most part. And it was a great experience.
Cool. And that, I mean, it toughens you professionally so that when you land in L.A., where notoriously dreams of small town New England musicians are crushed, you know, on a daily basis, you know, you already come to the town kind of tough. You know, you based on that experience, it sounds like you really, really paid your dues before you hit L.A.
You know, I did a lot of playing before I came to L.A. I actually made an album while I was in Boston.
Right.
And of course, I went to school. You know, I left Ithaca College. I went to New England Conservatory. And so I lived in Boston for 10 years.
Okay.
And that was a beautiful music scene because, you know, there's a lot of international musicians. Kids come from all around the world to go to Berkeley, to go to New England Conservatory, to go to Boston Conservatory, to go to, you know, a lot of other great schools there. You know, and so there's a really cool, nurturing, educational sort of spirit there. And I think it's great that jazz is available to us in schools, in education. You know, we can learn from wonderful musicians. You know, in the old days, the only way to really learn what, you know, what was going on was to listen to the record and play with the record and then hopefully get on the bandstand.
Yeah, sneak into the clubs.
Go to a jam session, yeah. I mean, jazz wasn't in the schools. It wasn't really recognized as something to study.
Yeah. It's interesting because you don't think of Boston as this big hub of jazz culture. And I, from St. Louis, which is the birthplace of a lot of great music, right?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have a jazz program. There is not a jazz training program, you know, in St. Louis. It's way more uptight. Converse that with Boston, which is an uptight city that has this thriving, cool jazz scene. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, with Boston, you know, I don't think of it as maybe the hub of jazz, but being one of the second largest college town in all the world.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just got so many opportunities for learning. That I loved the jazz scene there. It was nice.
My point is that you can learn jazz in Boston and you can't where it started, which is just, I don't know, that struck me as ironic and funny. You know, throughout, you had really encouraging parents. You know, they helped you get through. You know, and they really encouraged it. They didn't go, "Oh, you're never going to make a nickel as a musician. What are you nuts?" It seemed like, you know, there was music in the house growing up, right? And they just encouraged you all the way through. Is that accurate?
They were really supportive. Yes, we traveled a little bit. My mom loved to go to Broadway shows. She loved to go to jazz clubs and cabarets, and she was a big fan of taking me along to these. You know, we lived close to the Canadian border, actually in upstate New York, where I'm from.
Right.
So it was not that hard for us to get to Montreal and go to the Montreal Jazz Festival, which was an incredible, you know, huge festival with lots of great musicians. And so one of the things that I remember being exposed to was this jazz club called Biddle's.
Right.
And Charlie Biddle was a bass player who owned it and, you know, played in the house band every Sunday. And I remember going there with my mom and having ribs for lunch and just checking out, you know, Charlie Biddle. And it was just so cool. I just thought it was really awesome.
How old were you?
That's a good question. I don't remember specifically the age I was. We went up there several times and it kind of became, you know, something, a tradition that we would do in the summer. The festival.
Great tradition.
Yeah. The festival was incredible.
Wow. And so now, you know, you're a pro, no question about it. You're recording the most recent of several albums, and you front the Lolly Allen Quintet, right?
That's right.
Which is, you know, if you're outside and you hear the Lolly Allen Quintet, you think Lolly Allen must be this vocalist that stands in front of an all-male band. But that's not the case, right? It's you and your vibes, right?
That's right.
And then you've got a rotating group of like five or six musicians, right? Or
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That's right.
Basically, you've got musicians on call, right? That's who right. are all, you know, and when you get a gig, you call your regulars. When you are booked for a gig, how do you promote yourself? What do you tell people? What do you tell club owners? What do you tell the folks who will hire you about who the band is?
Well, you know, I love playing with women. It's really great to have women on the bandstand. Of course, for me, musicianship is most important. So, you know, whoever's available, whether it's male or female,
right.
You know, it's really great. I have some great musicians that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a website that you can check out. It's lollyvibe.com.
Okay.
LOLLYVIBE. And so generally, you know, I've got some clips there, some great videos. You'll see things from performances, and you can hear some of my previous CD, which is called Alan Has Funk.
Nice.
And, you know, the musicians I've been playing with, this most recent concert that I did, it was a CD pre-release concert and party, and Paul Krybek was playing drums, Tom Owens on piano, Danny Janklo playing saxophones, and Jordan Richards on bass. And, you know, sometimes I've got other great musicians that I play with if somebody can't make it.
Right.
Kristen Edkins is a phenomenal sax player. Also Carol Chaikin, wonderful saxophone player. So these are women that are really, really phenomenal musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa Sanchez is a bass player that I've worked with, as well as Anna Stottleman. Sometimes when Paul Krybek can't make it, I've played with Kendall Kay, who's just a fantastic drummer, really
wow.
lovely. So a lot of great musicians that I have the good fortune to play with.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, let's take a minute. Let's play a cut from Alan Has Funk, which is available wherever you buy CDs, which is pretty much Amazon these days. You can get it anywhere, but let's play one of the cuts, and we'll be back right after this.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Weep For Me, the jazz standard from the from Lolly Allen's CD. Allen Has Funk. If you dug that, you're going to dig the rest of the stuff. And Lolly, you've got you're working on a new CD, which is really an exciting project. And so tell me a little bit about what the new project involves.
Okay. Yeah. I'm doing a CD with my quintet, a new one. I've got some great arrangements. Many of them are jazz standards. There's a few originals. One of the originals was debuted recently at our CD pre-release party.
Okay.
A pre-release because this, you know, this concert was kind of a fundraiser to help us generate some funds to make the CD. So we're about to go in the studio to do that shortly. But the new song currently is titled Come Home.
Okay.
And I'm open to finding a new title, and I even encourage the fans to, you know, if you have suggestions, let me know. So a few fans, you know, gave their input, which is kind of cool. There's also this other song that I've written called Little Hummingbird, and that's going to be on the new album as well.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we've got these great jazz standards. There's a wonderful song called Emily, which is Mancini.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful arrangement that Tom Owens did, and he's the piano player that I work with a lot.
Right.
And he's also an author of Bebop, the music and its players, which is available on Amazon. And he just writes these really nice arrangements. And let's see, what else have we got? We're probably going to include Bebop, which is a Dizzy Gillespie tune
right.
that I transcribed and arranged. I'm just such a big bebop fan. I mean, bebop, the genre.
Right.
You know, Dizzy Gillespie, I love that music. I've
sure.
always loved bebop. Bud Powell and, you know, Charlie Parker and those guys. So we'll probably be doing that on the album.
That's outstanding. So you did the concert, and the concert was web streamed, right? A live stream.
That's right. It was a live stream.
Is there footage available?
There is. And what we're doing right now is actually kind of polishing it up, editing all the footage that we got from that concert. Of course, the live stream, sometimes live stream can be a little bit choppy. So I'm really excited to see the finished, you know, concert just, you know, really, really smooth and
sure.
Edited nicely. And that will be available. I would say the best place to find that is either following me on Facebook. I will certainly let people know when that link is available.
Okay.
Or through my website, lollyvibe.com.
And how do they find you on Facebook?
Facebook? Lolly Allen, my name.
There you go.
Yep. There's two pages. There's, you know, my personal page, but there's also a band page that I have. So I will keep everybody posted on the link.
There you go. Go to the band page, and you will see this this footage and hear some of the live things that you're going to hear on this album. What's your timeline for the album release?
I am aiming to have it released in July.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's ambitious. And to be clear, there's not some big jazz label doing this. So this is coming out of your pocket.
That's right.
And so and the concert that the footage that we referred to was a fundraiser. Will there be any more fundraising for the album coming up, or did you hit your goal?
Well, actually, most of the funds that have been raised so far have been raised by fans. And we actually are still offering a way to contribute on Indiegogo. You can pre-order the CD,
right.
And it's a contribution that goes towards helping us make this album. But we did an Indiegogo campaign for 28 days,
right.
And we're able to raise over $12,000 to make the album.
Whew.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And one of the perks was this CD pre-release party that we had that we also live streamed,
right.
That we recorded, that we have the great footage from. And so that was really a celebration of, you know, raising the funds and just, you know, presenting the music that's going to be on the album.
But there's still an opportunity to contribute, because I'll tell you, making an album's not cheap, right?
Right.
So the Indiegogo campaign is it ongoing, or is it over?
The real campaign part, you know, it lasted 28 days.
Right.
So we met the goal in that amount of time. But there's something, it goes into, you know, once you meet your goal,
right.
If you meet your goal, you can go into something called in demand, which allows people to continue to order CDs or contribute to the album. And I've got, you know, goals beyond the 12,000, you
right.
know, of having 9-piece arrangements on the album, as well as the quintet arrangements. I'd like to include a few 9-piece bands. That means, you know, hiring additional musicians and additional time in the studio.
Right.
So that's what, you know, any additional money is going towards, you know, hiring special guests.
So there you go. If you want to contribute, you are guaranteed a copy of this album when it comes out. You're going to love it. And you get to contribute to its, its very, very origin. So hit the Indiegogo. I presume you look for Lolly Allen.
I would say the best way is to find me online,
okay.
either through Facebook or through my website, lollyvibe.com.
Right.
And the link is definitely available through there.
There you go. So contribute to that album. If you liked what you heard in the cut that we played, or you do your research and you find Lolly, because her music is pretty easy to find online, to be perfectly honest. If you want to contribute to this album, this is a great way to do it. Lolly, it's been a pleasure. I'm really glad that we could do this. I am a part of the Indiegogo campaign, and if you're listening to this show, you really ought to be too. It's really amazing, and you're going to love it. Anything else you want folks to know before we close up?
Yeah, I'd love to give a shout out to, we've got some performances coming up.
Okay.
And I'd love to invite people to check them out.
Okay.
A week from today will be Valentine's Day.
Which is February 7th, 2016. So as we're listening, yes.
Oh, sorry, that's true. This is, yes, a week from today, which is February 7th, is February 14th, Valentine's Day. We'll be playing in Northridge, doing a jazz vespers at the Northridge, I think it's United Methodist Church. And that's starting at 6 p.m. And I'm playing with a sextet, which includes Plaz Johnson.
Wow.
The great Plaz Johnson, whom I play with from time to time.
Right.
He was the saxophonist on the original Pink Panther.
There you go.
And Tom Rotella will also be on that gig. He's a lovely guitarist. And, of course, Tom Owens, Roger Hsu on bass, and Paul Krybek on drums. A couple days later, we're going to be playing for the Muckenthaler Mansion. They've got an early subscriber party, so people that are subscribing for the Muckenthaler season, jazz season, will be there at that party on Wednesday the 10th. And we've also got, actually tomorrow, the 8th,
yeah.
February 8th, Monday, we've got a concert we're doing called Vibes for All, in which I will be playing the drum set on a few songs. as
Wait,
well
so
as
it's
vibes.
A vibe show, but the vibe player is playing drums.
Check this out. Everybody in the band, with the exception of Richard Simon on bass, will be playing the vibes at some point. So Paul Krybek is the drummer. He'll be playing vibes at some point, and I'll be playing drums while he's playing vibes. And
okay.
Charlie Shoemake, who is actually a renowned vibes player,
right.
is coming down from Cambria to play with us. And he's also a lovely piano player.
There you go. So there are lots of opportunities. If you're in Southern California, there are lots of opportunities to see Lolly live. But if you are outside of Southern California, the internet is a big place. There's lots of her music available online on YouTube or wherever. But the new album is really exciting, and we want you to get behind that. So make sure you hit the Indiegogo campaign. Find Lolly on Facebook and find out how you can contribute, engage with her. She is a charming and lovely and very gracious guest and a fantastic musician. We're really glad to have you. Thanks, Lolly.
Tim, it's been such a pleasure. I'm really, really enjoying my time with you. Thanks.
Well, break a leg, and we'll see you next time, okay?
All right.